it is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice.
Bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their fight.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Escape of Cthulhu presents Actum Cthulhu, Shadows of Atlantis by Lynn Hardy.
She was with us at the monk at the monk's temple.
But did she die in the fight with the lions?
She may have.
Okay, so she died on the roadside, it looks like.
Yes, Philippa died on. Yeah, because
with Dr. Skelvick.
Yeah, well before Dawa died. Yeah, well before Dawa died.
I kind of feel like we fled this last temple in haste because we were afraid that. Did we?
I didn't get that feeling because we were all there. Because they came back and the people that we were about to flee in haste, when the people we were worried about came back and turned into lions and we killed them.
Well, let's do it this way. Let's make it a party luck roll to see if somebody bothered to stop and pick it up.
Oh yeah, it does seem unlikely, but not impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think a party luck roll is probably good for.
All right. Well, I have a 25 luck.
Cool. Yeah, there we go.
It's not
that's
me.
What we're talking about. I got 31, man. Super lucky.
31. Did you spend a bunch, Edwin?
Nope. I did not.
You're using the French.
Yep. I was sent Pierre, I think, with 31.
Oh. Mine doesn't have luck stat on it.
Oh, I rolled for it. Yeah, okay. I rolled for it. That's right.
I didn't roll for mine. I just used my pal.
It's 3d6 times 5.
Yeah. And then I think I'd spent enough already, so. Nope, that's a fail for my 25.
Times 3, 36. You had
lower than me. We'll never know it was.
Yeah. So no worries then. Should we go ahead and get started?
Exactly.
Sure.
Okay, sure. Somebody want to catch us up? Catch up
no.
Lieutenant Novak? Fill him in on...
Too complicated. So what do we know? We know we're all in Lima. We were invited to a very wealthy house and a rich businessman, Julian Landau, had his house, and Fräulein Falk seems to be our employer. And it was all assumed, they all assumed that we knew what was going on. We had no idea. We had just had a dream about being at a Incan barbecue. And then another shots were fired. And then we find ourselves in this fancy European style dress party. Eventually we figure out in Lima. We have been hired to go search for a missing archaeologist. Section D, we have since then confirmed that Section D has sort of told us to do this, us being a rather loose term, and there's a mission sort of ready to head out as soon as we're ready. We're doing some research in town and getting equipment and so forth before we go. The German mission that we're looking for is 3 weeks late, and for some reason this has caused much concern, which is weird. Okay, and the information we have is that up in northern Peru, they had worked with some, they had hired some guides, perhaps from this coastal town of Chiclayo that we will visit, and that we have passage on a boat, care of our employer. And it sounds like this group that's going to head with us is a bit of an odd mix as well. It's the Folk, our employer, we're not sure why, a scholar, an archaeologist, and then the German Voss, who is to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. We don't really know anything about him.
All right, so he has to die first.
Before he turns into a lion.
Right. Let's see, we know who was on this other mission, and we've heard of some of them. They're pretty well-known archaeologists. And let's see, who was it exactly? It was Raul, Saint-Denis, and Novak, and Robledo stayed at the party, and there was nothing particularly odd going on. Good food, good drink, good conversation. While the others, Salazar, Manasa, and Fontaine, went to meet with the Section D agent, where they confirmed that we have lost our memory and that we have been doing things in Lima. In terms, like, we had made contact with Section D before, we just didn't remember doing it.
Oh.
So there's something going on there. And we did a little bit, when we all eventually got back the next day to the hotel, we looked at the journal for the items that we're expecting in Peru, and there was this passage about pure water to wash away the sins of their hubris in the Kwaikol Desert, various other things, the horsemen, whatever, clues and so forth that we'll eventually figure out, perhaps, or ignore.
Either one. Yeah, so right. It's the morning of Monday the 21st. When the party group returns to the hotel, the non-party group having already been there, and so just to fill in a piece of detail, so the ship to take you to Chiclayo is leaving tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, the 22nd.
Oh.
And it is not just any ship; it is a U.S. naval vessel.
Oh, dang. Not just any ship, indeed.
Interesting. So the U.S. is working with the Germans, working with the English, to recover this archaeologist.
Yeah, what is
the U.S.
ship?
Is not yet in the war, though, right?
Nope. Not even close.
Canada's attacked China. Not even close, yeah. Right. And no infamy yet.
Yep. Not for over 2 years.
Yep.
So that's where we are?
Well, that was quite a night.
Well,
you guys missed out. What did you all find out? Do we have any of them here?
I was with the Section D.
Your Fontaine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Fontaine was. Okay, good. Yes.
And so I was at the party. Okay. Or didn't was this, I?
Wasn't there? Didn't we give a sand bonus for the people at the party?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I do remember.
It was like a D3 or something like that, I think.
Yeah, I thought for some reason I thought it was even more, but yeah, D3. Sure.
Okay, so there you go, Lieutenant Novak. You can have a D3 sand for...
Sweet!
A very pleasant evening.
One.
There you go.
Better than a punch in the mouth.
Might have happened too.
Well, it was a little stressful there for a while when Mr. Manasseh was threatening your hosts, so...
Right. Yeah, that was a bit much.
With a loaded...
Lacking in coot there. So, do we have a sense of... This mission presumably will be... furnished. I mean, we're not expected, I presume, based on the wealth and so forth of our employer, to actually go shopping for stuff, but stuff that will be shopping for.
That is correct.
Okay.
I will also add, since the comment was made earlier, what's her name?
Ms. Moore?
Fraulein Falk.
Oh, Falk.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason that she's going is completely obvious to you. It's like, well, of course she's going. She's very clearly, you know, one of those rich socialites who likes to, you know, adventure and explore. And, you know, if Miss Saint-Denis was still alive, the two would be getting on fabulously. You know, she's...
Okay.
She's that kind of...
R.I.P.
She is gonna go have fun.
Well, so she's probably gonna get more than she bargained for on this trip, knowing us.
Well, here's hoping. So I guess I would happily spend a day learning about the region. I mean, I sort of know vaguely just from general archaeology, but it would be good to spend a day in the library looking at maps and reading about the locals and all of that, sort of seeing who lives in what tribes are there and what types of thing. We know he was going to the Lambakai region, looking for something in a certain area, and I guess I would spend the day doing as much research as I can into that area, that region.
Yeah, I can maybe help with that with like the maps and the more of the actual landscape part. The actual terrain.
Sure.
Since I'm a mountaineer.
How about the...
Somewhat mountainous in this region, I'm sure.
How about any sort of academic contacts we might have that could tell us more about the missing person and what he was studying in specific?
That would be good, too.
Okay. That sounds like... trip to the library, the great Lima, very famous Lima library.
Well, and I guess if there's a university Gazette. Or something that sounds like what library, if possible. Yeah, and I guess if there's a research center or a university or something that sounded like what Mr. Fontaine was talking about.
Okay. There certainly is. Yeah, there is a fairly large, well-known university in Lima with a big archaeology and history department. That is a thing that exists. So, you know, given the credentials among you, especially Professor Salazar, who, you know, actually works there, and Miss Robledo, who is actually enrolled there, getting in is not an issue.
For once.
So, yes, you are able to to research.
Excellent.
So let's rock some library use.
Okay. And I guess maybe to Jim, I guess I would be researching, you know, cross-referencing, like, current and local areas where we're looking in, and old architecture or temples and stuff like that. Stuff that's been around for a long time.
Okay.
With library use, I don't think that's going to be successful with a 73. Nope, 25 is the base, so...
Normal success for Saint-Denis.
And I have a regular success as well.
Okay. So, you are able to find some information on the Lombok region.
Put it on the map.
Oops, let me clean this up a little bit. Oops. Is that everything? That's everything. Nope, not quite. Look at that. And that. Okay. So, here is some research information for you. Whoops, what just happened? That's not right. I should probably paste it into the right part of the notes. Let me make sure. There we go.
There we go. The Lombake culture flourished over three distinct periods, each one associated with a new urban center, the first at Pampa Grande, the second at Bataan Grande, and the third at Tucumã. Each site was burned and then abandoned for reasons unknown, which some speculate were linked to catastrophic El Niño weather events, and in the case of Tucumã, the news of the Spanish conquest of the Inca, who subsumed the Lambakai peoples along with their Chimú overlords in around 1450, although, according to legend, there is another much more supernatural explanation. That's the one we want.
Yep.
Civilization took its name from a sacred stone, Yampayak, brought by balsa raft to his new home by the culture's founder, Nylamp, or Nymlap.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's no tep on the end of that.
Oh, God.
No way, it's not Egyptian. In a story recorded by the Spanish priest Father Miguel Cavallo de Balboa in his Miscellanea Antarctica of 1586, Nylamp landed on the shores of Peru with nine noble warriors and other members of his royal court, whereupon he built a city and a temple to house his precious Yampayak, corrupted by the Spanish to Lambayak. Painted friezes depicting Nylamp's arrival show a strange birdman figure on the approaching raft, and the Moke language's word for bird, Nam, and water, La, may well be where the strange voyager's name came from, bird water. Moke figures often have wing-shaped eyes and bird-like features, as does the Lambayak god associated with Bataan Grande. Nylamp himself is said to have grown wings and flown away upon his death. His dynasty only foundered when its last governor was convinced by a demon disguised as a beautiful woman to move Yampayak from its holy site. Well, that's some good stuff.
Heck yeah, that sounds right up our alley.
Do we have a map of Pampa Grande, Bataan Grande, and Tucumã?
I don't believe... No, unfortunately, they are not on the map.
Okay, do we think they're all... I mean, are they all, like, within 10 miles of each other? Are these close sites to each other? Or are these significantly...
No, not that close.
...separated?
Not 10 miles, but, you know...
that's no idea. Yeah.
It's not 1,000 miles either, right? And you do know that Tucumã is where the missing expedition was headed. That's where they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I guess what I don't know is if we are, for example, likely to pass through or stumble by the other two places, or if they're... you know, 100 miles away or something.
Right. Well, maybe now that we have semi-pinpointed what seems to be the most likely point, we could maybe get into... I'm sure there's, like, a district or an area where most of the guides would congregate for who would be taking people on expeditions out there? Or are they probably...
Well, I think once we get up to Chicleo, we can... That's where the guides were hired.
Yeah.
We should be able to follow the tracks, so to speak, metaphorically, mm-hmm. of the expedition.
Well, and also speak perhaps at some length with the guides before we even...
How sizable was the last expedition?
Four people that matter.
Yeah, but so how big total?
Jim, if I dug around talking to administrators or secretaries or people at the university about his expedition, his colleagues, anyone that's available that might know him or what his plans were.
Just would you be able to find someone, or?
Yeah, so basically, in doing that research, what I want to know is, I want to talk with people who he worked with that might have more details about the missing archaeologist's expedition.
Okay, I think I follow. You mean at the university there?
Yes, yep.
Okay. So make me a persuade roll.
Okey-doke. Oh, nope. Let's see. I'm going to spend some luck to make that a success.
Okay.
So I spend 17 luck.
Wow. So you are, you're asking around a little bit. You are not able to find anyone who knows specifically of the expedition's plans. What you are able to find out, you're able to, convince some people to talk to you and, hey, what about this guy and so forth. And what you are able to find out is that the German expedition had no interaction with the university or anyone associated with the university at all.
Interesting.
And in fact, there's a lot of kind of ill feeling about the expedition. There. Yeah. For exactly that reason.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, yeah. I guess it is nothing very strange for the Germans to be secretive in their missions. We have seen that before. Our employers were most secretive about what they were doing. And it is also not unusual for them to trample on the feelings of the people they could use help from. Certainly not help them succeed.
As part of your research, you do, of course, figure out... I do have a map here for you. Sort of.
Awesome.
At least of... so you are able to figure out that, all of those sites are... 100 kilometers from the city.
Okay.
And they're all within...
Okay.
And they're all within about 50 kilometers of each other.
100 kilometers from Chiclayo.
Yeah, sorry.
And do they extend around that 100-mile distance or away from each other further away from the city?
Away from each other further away from the city.
Oh, okay.
So those three dots are the three sites, basically?
Eh, close enough.
I mean, plus enough, plus or minus, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's interesting, because I was actually thinking they were, I thought it was way inland from Chiclayo up, but they're all pretty coastal. Beautiful, beautiful.
Which is interesting, because it talks about the high desert, which I would expect would be up in the mountains or up.
Well, there's mm-hmm. there's this nice photograph that was taken by some enterprising explorer that looks fairly high mountain desert. Certainly a lack of water there. Pretty cool. Okay, and then is this? I'm trying to think what else.
Sacred stone.
Yeah, that's kind of neat too.
So this is interesting. I mean, maybe there's no connection here, but it was brought by raft from somewhere else.
Yeah, sort of the opposite of that crazy man's theories. Heyerdahl. Has he come around yet? Heyerdahl's later, right? I feel like he's... Somebody's...
Got a lot of wind.
Wind or rubbing something.
I'm hearing it as well.
We have heard of Thor Heyerdahl. It seems unlikely.
No.
Maybe.
His Kon-Tiki thing was in 47.
47. Yeah.
Later.
So that's interesting. His crazy theories might be around, but not his right. his test.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would be around, but they would only be known to, you know, the specialists among you. You know, certainly Professor Estevarn
right.
would have heard of Heyerdahl and his theories, but beyond that,
right?
The Frenchman maybe not.
I was thinking, yeah, but this is certainly would certainly be enough to twig Salazar's
yep.
memory, yeah.
Is there anything else? So it talks about the stone being moved from its holy site. Can we find anything else about where it was moved to?
How about some more library use rolls?
Can I try again too, Jim?
Yeah.
All right,
cool. Spending the day in the library, man.
I fail.
Oh, 30.
There you go.
Did no one else
spend
make it?
Spend it.
No, I got a normal success.
Then I don't need to spend
it. Oh, that's right, because you're base at 25. Yeah, no, I succeeded. Just not extravagantly.
No, the Yampalik disappears from the historical record.
Shit!
Okay.
Of course.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
what was the name again? It was Malawi or something, which is not even close to being a corruption of... was it page 40 or something?
What, Nihilamp?
No, that's the god. The name of the fourth artifact... according to the Lama.
Matawe. Matawi. M-A-T-A-W-I.
Right.
Well, but that's in his language.
Well, yeah, but, you know, these... But, yeah, but it doesn't... It's not close to Yom Palak. It doesn't help us.
So there was some discussion last night of this famous pyramid complex at Tekumai, which seems very similar to this Tekumai. Maybe they're the same names, two different names for the same place.
No, it is the same place.
We just spelled it wrong.
Yeah, that's where. Tekumai is where the German expedition was headed. Not as their destination, but kind of their, you know, the start, their real starting point, if you will.
Okay. So that probably should be one of the places we go.
Right. Well, Tekumai wasn't Tekumai the one that had the crazy story about it?
Yes. It was the capital of... One of the capitals of the culture.
And that one had the crazy legend. So, yeah. So we probably are going to be heading there.
And then, if we still have some time, I would be interested in checking the... social record, the recent social record, to see if there was any hint of a romance between Falk and the maybe I already know this, I don't think so though, and I guess it would be Hauer. Oh no, Hauer, not that's all.
I think
it's mission archaeology.
Maurer. It says it's a good friend of hers. I don't know if that's the guy you're talking about.
Do you mean the leader of the expedition? Is that
him? Yeah, it's
Hauer.
Female. It's Dr. Etzel Hauer, right?
Yeah, is the leader of the expedition.
Right.
Okay, so this Mr. Liesel Maurer is
this
not...
That is the German who asked Fräulein Falk to go looking for the missing expedition. That Maurer is a good friend of Falk's. And he's the one who said, "Hey, you're a rich adventurous who likes to explore. Spend some of your money and go find my missing Germans."
Did we meet Maurer last night?
No.
He's not there. Okay.
So I guess any sort of other social connections or gossip that I could find about the relevant parties. So Landau, Falk, and the expedition.
Okay.
And I guess, I don't know if Armbruster and Fromm are wealthy enough to be in the social papers or not, but...
Yeah, you can all take another library use for spend the rest of the afternoon reading the social pages.
All right, so that is...
I fail.
Fail.
I will make that a hard success.
Okay.
French gossip person really wants to know.
yes, so you know that Landau has been... So you're able to, you know, kind of put together... Landau has been in Peru for nearly his entire life. His father inherited a large sugar plantation up in the Lambeque region because he had worked there for a long time. And then Landau inherited the plantation from his father. Landau and...
Is it two generations or just one generation?
Two.
Three generations or two generations of...
Two. Landau is the second.
Two, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
Your Landau is the second. There are lots of references to Landau and Frauling Falk together.
Okay.
He is good friends with her and her family. You're not really able to find out much more about Miss Falk than you already know. She is the sole heiress of a very wealthy German family. She is very well known in German high society in Germany.
Okay.
For being very charming, very beautiful, and occasionally a bit weird. And apparently she has a strong interest in the occult. But apparently recently has given that up for her new obsession of flying.
She sounds like a an investigator. I wonder if she has a plane.
You actually know she has a plane, because she made reference. She made reference at the party that she that her initial hope was to be able to fly to the region and do an aerial survey to look for the missing part for the missing expedition.
Oh, smart.
But the weather at the moment is not permitting such a thing.
Weak.
That's funny. I remember the thing about that she would have flown there, but I didn't understand that she would have piloted.
Yeah.
And I may have. Yeah, that's interesting. That's funny.
Yep. No, I may not have made that completely clear, but yeah, it was obvious to you at the party that she wanted to fly. She wanted to fly herself, and she was actually really, 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 really disappointed that they weren't going to be able to.
Okay. Interesting.
And when her talking about her disappointment in that was really kind of the only, crack in her veneer of perfect hostess, because she was really upset about
it. Well, I mean, if we didn't already have this boat and expedition lined up already for us, we might be able to persuade her.
Well, not to go anyway. And then get us all killed?
No, maybe it's not that bad. Who knows?
Well, it seems like, based on my conversation with her, if it were not that bad, she would have gone.
Perhaps by the time we get... Perhaps by the time we get up there to...
Right.
Chicle. The weather will break.
Yeah.
Yes, perhaps she can bring her plane on the ship. Would not be difficult. I assume.
Do we know how long a boat ride it is up there?
2 days.
Okay.
So, do we have any evening expectations? Has anyone invited us for dinner or anything like that, or are we on our own?
Nope, you're on your own. Which is what you had requested, right? You had wanted... you had specifically said, hey, we need to go... or at least certain members of your party had made that...
Those people who were concerned about the fact that they had no idea what we were doing here.
Yes, exactly.
How we got here, why we were here.
Yeah. Such nervous people, the English who are not English.
Raoul, you're much more equipped to roll with the punches than I am. I'm afraid I need to know what's going on.
Yes, well, it would be good if we knew what was going on. That is that is true. But barring that, we should get another bottle of wine and enjoy our evening.
Yes, I agree.
Well, perhaps Esteban and Maria can show us around the town.
That would be marvelous. Yes, I'm sure they know all the good restaurants. Or at least one, which is all we need for tonight.
Yep, so you can certainly spend a pleasant and relaxing evening in Lima.
We will spend the time getting to know each other and making sure we're ready for
whatever.
For what will surely be some stressful times ahead.
Fair deal. The next morning dawns.
Ah, miracles never cease. I guess we'll head down to the Navy, to the pier.
Yep. It's a very chilly morning. There's a thick fog in the air.
Of course.
But you're able to get a car to take you down to where the ship is berthed. When you arrive there, you can see there's kind of a bustle of activity around the ship as people are loading supplies on board and so forth. You do see that the ship is the USS Seabird.
Well, that's ominous.
Yeah, right? Because it's the Seabird.
Wait.
Man figure.
The Seabird Man.
Yeah.
Does there appear to be a plane stowed on the deck? What kind or size of ship is this?
Jim, are you muted or?
Sorry, yes, I was. It's a Corvette.
Okay. Small, fast.
People.
As you arrive, you are welcomed on board by the crew, who tell you that you are the last to arrive.
Oh, apologies.
Everyone else is already on board. You are shown to your quarters, which are not really quarters, just kind of small berths. Again, small ship, doesn't have a whole lot of space.
Did I... Okay.
And the crew asks you to wait in your quarters. The captain will summon everyone together shortly after they get underway to meet.
Very well.
Do we see our compatriots at all, or they've already presumably gone down to quarters?
You're told that they're already waiting in there. They've already been okay. Shown to their berths, so you presume that that's where they are.
Yep. I will presume a lot.
So, assuming that you don't cause any particular problems, you're able to stow your gear in your berths and kind of make yourselves at home to a certain extent. Probably, pat the mattress. Yep, there's a mattress there. Okay. That's about it. Not long after, you can hear the engines are, of course, idling the whole time. You can hear the engine start to spin up, and you feel the Seabird being pushed away. And you can feel it kind of start moving out to sea. And then not long after that, an ensign shows up and says, please come to the wardroom. The captain would like to meet with everyone.
Are any memories stirred by being presumably back aboard a ship that we had just crossed the ocean on a ship? We don't remember it. But I'm just wondering if there's any kind of flashback or anything like that, if anything starts to gel or anything just from being back
nothing,
on the sea.
Nothing whatsoever.
Okay. Right. Well, pondering that lack, I'll follow instructions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the ensign shows you to the wardroom, and your four German compatriots are there as well. They come in and sit down, along with a couple of the ship's officers. The captain, basically just welcomes you, says, we're happy to assist in this rescue mission any way we can. We will take 2 days to get up to where we need to go. And then he kind of just runs through some of the safety regulations, shows you how to use the plumbing on board the ship.
Excellent.
And
where the muster stations are.
Kind of gives you a little, little tour of at least some of the basic facilities that you'll need to find. Like the, where to eat and that sort of thing. And then he said, and then he tells you that, your meals will be served with the officers here in the wardroom. And they will be serving breakfast momentarily.
Oh, I would be honored.
Thank you.
To join the U.S. Navy for breakfast. That will be quite a treat.
As promised, a few minutes later, breakfast is served. It is not the best you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And you can all make a con roll, in fact.
Oh, God.
Waiting that for that.
Good. That good, huh?
That bad.
Oh, I think it's going to get wavy. Fail on that.
Oh, 98.
Green already. I'm green already.
Nice.
You are all feeling quite seasick.
If you gentlemen will excuse me, I think I will visit, how you say, topside.
Yes, I will join you.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever been on a ship before.
So, the effects of the seasickness, any roll that you have to make is one difficulty higher.
Oh, jeez.
Awesome.
Damn! That's rough.
Seasickness sucks.
Yes, it does.
Agreed.
So I believe, as you said, the three of you will excuse yourselves to the deck.
He goes, "Oh, it's so good. I need to get some fresh air. I'm so stuffed."
Perhaps a cigarette will help calm the stomach.
Yes. Yes.
As the three of you are on deck, you can hear the intercom call out, "Captain to the port watch station. Captain to the port watch station."
Are we on port or starboard?
It's not a big deal to run around to the other side, so either
walk
way.
Across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the port side.
And
I can never remember, is port left or right?
Port is left because it has four letters. Same as left.
If you say so, Lieutenant.
I'm just realizing that one of the things that is not anywhere on my sheet is English.
Wait, really? Yeah. You guys only speak French?
German. No, Persian. We don't speak English. Persian and German.
Oh, because I speak Polish, English, and French, but not German or Persian.
Beautiful. Well, French, so we speak French in common. That's fine.
Yeah, French. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, the two archaeologists, you guys can both consider that you have 10% in English. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Enough to converse with the team, but, yeah.
Right. But
they don't know they don't know, you know, tenses or conjugation or, you know, particles or whatnot.
Yep.
But we have, particles, excellent. We have particle model of accent.
As you say, it's the port side. Let this go.
No, as you say, port side. No the.
You make your way over there. A moment later, the captain appears, and you can see him talking to the rating who was on watch, who is pointing out into the mist. And the cat,
look
he has
out
the
into the mist as well.
Captain has binoculars, and the captain kind of scanning off into the mist there. And at some point, it clears a little bit, and you can see that there is what looks to be a schooner of some kind, like an old wooden schooner.
Okay. Can we see people on it, or?
Yes.
What kind of people?
It's far enough away, you can't make out a whole lot of details, but you can see, that there are people in the shrouds, and apparently some people on deck, there looks to be some kind of commotion.
Uh-oh.
Have to make roll.
We're in a Navy ship. Of course people are going to be like, oh, crap!
old Peruvian. Pardonnez-moi.
Does he seem upset at all? Can we tell how he's taking the news?
He's interested. Well, that's not something you see every day. Ah, beautiful brigantine rigged schooner. Nice lines.
Okay. So he's,
What's the name of that ship? He calls down to the radio man to make contact, and the rating is looking over the ship with the binoculars. I can see the name on the bow, sir. It's Virgin de Covadonga.
Spell that one.
I would be happy to. I will spell it in chat.
Sounds German.
Oh, the Virgin of Copenhagen. No, Virgin Covadonga.
And as soon as he says that, Miss Robledo, who is checking this out with you, gasps. No way!
What is it? Oh, no. Mademoiselle, what do you see? What do you know?
The Virgin de Covadonga? A very famous ship. It was... it's a Chilean naval ship. It was... And here she kind of screws up her nose and furrows her brow. It was... destroyed in 1880. entering the world of the Pacific.
But it's...
Well, it must be some kind of another recreation. With the same name.
Yes.
And as soon as she says that, the ship explodes. It's even from, you know, kind of the distance you're at, the explosion is absolutely deafening.
You know, what?
The entire ship is just turned into splinters. And, you know, wood is wood and cloth and rope and bits of iron are falling into the sea all around. The captain, you know, barely hesitates. He calls to the helm to come, you know, to come to port, and to, you know, calls up the crew.
Look for survivors.
Looking for survivors, exactly.
Ugh, jeez.
Sacre merde!
He does. I bet the captain does like a spit take, like. God. If he hadn't have said it was such a nice ship, it wouldn't have exploded.
I guess that was not our shooting then. I wonder what happened.
Yes.
Do we see any bodies or people? You said we saw people in the rigging.
Yep. As the you know, the ship kind of, you know, again, it's, you know, it's a heavy mist, right? So, you know, you kind of lose sight of it for a moment, then it comes back and lose sight. And it takes about 10 minutes for the Seabird to get to where the Virgin was. And when you do, you know, there's, you know, ratings kind of everywhere, look with pikes, you know, trying to look into the water and pull stuff up. And the water is completely clear. There's nothing floating.
No wreckage?
No wreckage.
Okay. Are we seeing things, guys?
Is it still fairly misty?
But it would... Yeah. The whole ship.
Yes.
Well, perhaps it floated... There's a current. It floated away. Into the mist.
Why don't the three of you make spot hidden rolls?
With not disadvantage, but...
Yeah, we have to make a better level of success.
Yep. No, actually, I guess in 7th edition, that's a better way to do it. With a penalty die instead.
Penalty die.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I'm going to do worse than a 98.
I'm going to say I
nailed
happily
just
without it.
65 out of 65.
Nice.
Or an 05, if you...
You notice that the Mr. Fontaine, sorry. Yes. You do notice out of the corner of your eye that at some point the Germans came up on deck, and they're, you know, just kind of like you guys are doing, standing in a group, kind of talking amongst each other and, you know, pointing and going, oh, what was that? Apparently the Germans were doing the same thing. Make a psychology roll.
With disadvantage. What's the base on that? It doesn't matter, 95.
Okay. They don't seem to be that excited. You know, they're kind of whispering amongst themselves, and then they disappear back down below decks.
Were they up when it happened?
No. Well,
okay. They heard the commotion and came up.
You're fairly certain you didn't see them when you came over, but you don't know specifically when they came up.
But they have less reason to be surprised than we do. Oh, I thought there was something up there. I guess not. Oh, well. They don't know about all this time travel nonsense.
Right.
Could we be in the wrong place? What do you think happened? This is very strange. Do you are any of the officers no longer running around or available to be chatted with?
Yes, you know, the ship kind of carries on for about 15-20 minutes until it's clear that there's no debris, and they're all just kind of scratching their heads, wondering what happened, and then they all go about their business, return to normal duty.
So I'll try to find somebody. Maybe there's a gunner even. The explosion. Could you tell what it was? Was it from the inside or the outside?
Well, I didn't see anything hit it. We certainly didn't fire on it. I don't remember hearing any other gunfire.
Ah, yeah. So you think maybe the whatever. It had sails, no? Yes. It's not an engine. Maybe a gunpowder room?
Certainly could
or
be.
Or something?
If it was... Yeah, some kind of... I mean, if it was... Yeah, it certainly looked like a... Like an old brigantine. They certainly would have... would have had... cannon on board. Maybe someone was... Yeah, they were going to... fire off some... blank salvos, you know, people do that from time to time.
Just
somebody made a mistake and.
Oof. Jim,
mistake.
I have a fairly high photography score. Is it likely that I have a camera in my equipment on board?
I think that is reasonable, yes.
Okay. I'm going to rush downstairs and grab my camera and bring it back up on deck in case anything else strange happens.
Okay.
Make sure to have it on me at all times.
Fair enough.
Unless I'm puking.
Yeah, so the day wears on. You can all make another con roll. Not with the penalty dice, but you need a hard con roll.
Nope.
I feel slightly improved, but I'm still sick.
And as the light begins to fade... you can see that the fog is coming up even thicker. It hasn't been thinning out through the day. It's just been getting thicker and thicker.
Mm-hmm.
So the captain announces, you know, he's decided that the fog is too thick to continue sailing at night. They are going to put in to the town of Chimbote.
Captain, will this delay us much?
Oh well, we'll see how the day goes tomorrow. But I don't think it should be too bad.
Very well. I guess they have been gone for 7 months. One more day will not be too bad.
No. And are we to stay on ship tonight, or may we explore Chimbote?
Well, you're our guests here. You're welcome to disembark if you want to. I would not recommend that you do so.
Why not?
Well, Chimbote is, as you can probably see, and he kind of points out along the shoreline, there's a number of processing plants, fish packing.
Mm.
This is a pretty rough town. There really isn't. They don't do tourism here. Let me say it that way.
Oh, okay. Very well.
I'd rather not have to.
Well, we.
send a group to try to come find you.
We will. I will be a pleasure to be your guest.
And with that, the ship puts in. Night falls. Unless there's anything in particular y'all are wanting to do.
No.
I might ask Robledo to tell us the tale of the Vergen de Covadonga.
Right, yeah.
If she knows anything more, maybe she has a good story around it.
She does. She will tell you that the ship was destroyed in. Sorry, let me find it again. Here we are. I lost it. In 1880, during the War of the Pacific, that the Peruvian rebels had rigged a supply boat to sail out. From Chancay, which is an area just south of Chimbote, and that so they had rigged and booby-trapped this supply boat to blow up, and that's what sunk the ship with all hands.
I would like to spend some time chatting up Fräulein Volk. And
I bet you would.
Speaking with her a bit about what she might know about these folks that we are going after.
The folk.
See if folk knows folks.
Find out more about her, where she's been. Maybe bring up the topic of flying to sort of warm up the conversation, that sort of thing.
Fräulein Volk is more than happy to talk to you, to the point that, you know, you're probably the one that's like, okay, that's enough, get me out of here.
Sure.
You know, she will tell you everything about herself, mostly involving flying. You know, she will go into extreme detail about every time that she's been in an airplane, and you know, the things she's seen, and how much she loves it, and how amazing it is. She tells you nothing whatsoever about the Germans.
Okay. I do my best to make it appear as if I'm extremely interested in what she has to say. Leave a good impression with her.
Fair deal.
Okay. We feel better, I assume, in the evening a little bit.
Once the ship is...
Ship's been docked in port.
Once it's docked and the motion has settled down a little bit. Night falls. Whew. The evening passes. The next day dawns. The seabird sets out again. The captain informs you that he expects to get to Pimentel, which is the port at Chicleo, in the evening. They expect to make it there by evening.
Oh, very nice.
Has the fog lifted?
It has thinned.
Okay.
Yes.
Is the fog, is it normal? Is this seasonal, or is it always like this?
I ask somebody. Yeah, you would be told that this is, certainly yesterday's fog was heavier than normal. Not unreasonable, but, you know, certainly one of the worst that I've seen. And so the day passes uneventfully. Evening arrives, and sure enough, as promised, the seabird docks at Pimentel Pier in Chicleo.
Were the Germans either distant or attempting to be friendly, or do they not seem to care about the fact that we're working with them for them? Is it any personality with them?
No, they are keeping completely to themselves.
To themselves.
Why don't you all make psychology rolls?
Okay. Yeah, it just seems...
Nope. What's the base? 20? 10?
5.
Yeah. One of those.
Fail.
Fail.
No pass.
Fail. Everyone here.
Yep.
So, okay, well, I'll leave it to your own
our
devices.
Our perceptive people are sleeping away their sickness.
Let me give a roll for them. Let's see. Where's my dice? Here's some dice. Oh, 0-4.
Nice. Go NPCs.
And a 28. Yeah, so... Mr. Manasa and Ms. Robledo, when the topic comes up, I wonder why the Germans aren't talking to us. They both kind of indicate that they are of the opinion, based on kind of the few things the Germans have said and kind of just their action, that it seems like the Germans are more than happy to... accept Fräulein Falk's help because she's German and because she's rich, and so she's funding this rescue expedition. And they're more than happy to accept the help of the Americans because without the use of the Seabird, it would have taken far longer than it would have otherwise to get up here. But they are not particularly thrilled with having to drag the six of you along. They'd just as soon you weren't here.
Well, good. Screw them, too, damn krauts.
So, I guess I would... So, what's-his-face is not with us, obviously. That's interesting. I would be interested to talk to Falk, I guess, about that, except that we knew of Etzelhauer, but we don't know her, and the others we don't know. So yeah, I guess I would be interested in talking with Fräulein Falk and asking her if she knows why again, Landau, I think, is the money here. Yeah, Landau has saddled the Germans with us. It just seems obvious that they feel they are up to the journey themselves. Are they unable to convince Landau that they didn't need us? Did Landau force them to bring us? It will be tiresome work if this is like this. What do you know? And I'll talk to her in German.
Well, you don't even need to ask her because you already actually know the answer to that. Section D told you. So.
Well, maybe.
Right. So the German whose name I forget, M something, asked Falk for help to find the missing expedition.
Maurer.
Yeah.
Right.
So Maurer asked Maurer. Falk. Falk went to Landau because she knew Landau. Yeah. Landau is rich and has all sorts of contacts and business in the area.
Contact. Right.
Landau is the one who came to the British and Americans to say, hey, can you help us out? And then when Section D got...
So maybe...
Section D is the one who inserted you guys into this whole thing. So, kind of we'd be happy to help. Here are our six experts.
We
are going to give you these six people in a boat.
What does Folk, like, what's her take on, like, what does she know about that, or what's her take on it?
The more the merrier.
Okay.
Good. So it was just kind of...
She doesn't see anything wrong with all this.
Nope.
So it was more kind of like conditional that they take us because they're helping with the boat.
Correct.
Okay.
And she's not concerned, and I'm unable to make her concerned that the Germans don't want us there, don't like us working with them.
No, she...
That doesn't bother her at all.
No, it doesn't. You know, she's of the opinion that, you know, you're all intellectuals. Well, some of you are intellectuals. Many of you are intellectuals. You know, so that should rise above, you know, the national politics and, you know, that's going on. But, you know, certainly it's understandable that, you know, things are a little tense right now, so...
I will agree wholeheartedly with her that we should rise above this, the nationalism. I don't believe it. Nasty Germans. I won't say that. Okay.
Well, I think it's Lieutenant Novak who should be the most...
I'm not saying anything. I'm just silently stewing. Damn Germans. Freaking everywhere. Can't get away from them.
Yes, they murdered your president yesterday, I think. Well,
oh, God.
He disappeared.
Did they? Yeah, I'm pissed.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. But I blame the Germans.
Could have just as easily been the Russians who took him.
Could have. But my hate lies with mostly the Germans. Probably because they're here.
All right.
If there was Russians, I'd hate them just as much.
Right. And vice versa, I'm sure.
Yes.
A complete out of game aside, while we're talking about the depredation of Poland here, if you've never seen it, there's a movie called Katyn, which is about the Poland kind of throughout the war. And it opens with this wonderful scene. There's this, you know, kind of mass of Polish people fleeing the advancing German army. Right, you know, they're kind of, you know, fleeing from village to village, carrying all their belongings, and, you know, trying to get away from the Germans. Fleeing, you know, they're fleeing east.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they come up to this river, and there's this one bridge across the river, and they start crossing the bridge, and coming from the east, there's this huge mass of Polish refugees fleeing westward with all their belongings, and they're trying to cross the bridge going east because they're fleeing the Russian army at the same time, and they all get. They all kind of meet on this bridge, and there's this wonderful scene. We have to go west. The Russians are coming. No, we have to go east. The Germans are coming. So yeah. Anyway, Katyn, worthwhile.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. It was off topic.
Okay.
Say my father tells a tale of. Being in Budapest as a kid in the war and seeing the meeting of the two armies.
Oof.
That they were fighting each other in downtown or whatever.
Rough.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
I'll take a pass. So the day passes. In the evening, the ship docks. And as the ship is docking, you can see there are three cars and a gentleman. And you are informed that the gentleman is Emilien Huaman, something like this.
Emilian Huaman.
He works for Mr. Landau, and he has brought the cars, and they are going to take you to Mr. Landau's plantation, which is where you will spend the evening before setting off.
Very good.
Is one thing I would like to do before we take off is to speak with the local guides that may have, the families of the guides that may have been hired here. Is that something we can do this evening, or can they be sent up to the plantation, perhaps, to discuss after dinner, or maybe in the morning we come back to town?
Mr. Huaman tells you that he knows them all. He's the one who hired them. So he can
Very good.
Fill you in with whatever information you would like.
I take pictures
I'm
of
hoping that
various things just in case they disappear.
I'm hopeful that perhaps the guides were loose-lipped amongst with their wives and perhaps gave some more information about where they were journeying to.
Huaman, you know, kind of gets everyone loaded into the cars, and then, you know, we can talk while we drive. Not a problem.
Very good, yes.
And he would tell you that the Germans, the original expedition, didn't really give any information other than they were headed to Takume, and then, you know, they didn't really tell anyone where they were going beyond that.
Ah.
Interesting.
And Jim, not to belabor the photography, but part of my goal is, in case we forget, lose our memories again, I want to have some documentation of what we've been doing.
As long Good as you plan. Remember to have your film developed at some point.
Right, exactly.
You should keep a journal.
You shouldn't put a note on the back of the camera, develop me if you don't remember me.
Good point. I'll slip a note into my wallet that says something like that.
Nice. So yeah,
perhaps you should keep notes of what we are doing.
If only. So the cars kind of drive through Chicleo and head out of town. The cars are comfortable. They're not, you know, brand new, but they're fairly new and very well maintained. The roads are they're dirt roads, but they're fairly, you know, solid, hard-packed dirt roads. About an hour out of town, all three cars roll to a stop, and the lights turn off.
Wait, okay. In the middle of nowhere?
In the middle of nowhere, yep.
Oh, fuck.
And, you know, the
Who's driving? Obviously, Huaman is not the driver. There's drivers for each car.
Yeah, he brought drivers with him.
I grabbed my gun.
Yeah, the driver in your car is, you know, pushing the ignition, trying to start the car, and nothing's happening.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Senor, what's his problem?
He says that the car will not the car just stopped and will not start.
Are we just in one car, or are there a couple?
Three cars.
Yeah, the three of you can all be in one car.
But all three cars stopped?
Yes. And you can see the drivers in the other cars and your driver get out and, you know, are poking around in the engine.
I get out.
Get out as well.
I head over to Folk's car.
Fräulein, is everything okay in your car?
No, the driver said it just suddenly stopped.
Ill prepared. Not enough gasoline.
Come on. All three cars at once?
Yes, that does not sound likely.
I filled them.
Senor Huaman, what is happening?
I filled them with petrol. Just before we Not long before you arrived, there was plenty of petrol.
Well, I'm sure there still is. What? Can you check?
Is this normal?
We still have gas?
You check the gas tank, and yep, there's gas in there.
Hmm.
I want to look around this area. What's the terrain like here, and anything out of the ordinary?
It is fairly flat. Not completely flat, but you know, fairly flat. Kind of low scrub. You know, increasing in elevation as you head inland towards the Andes.
Nothing particularly out of place in this spot that we've stopped. Like the soil isn't a different color or anything weird.
1840.
Make a spot hit and roll.
21 out of 65.
Nothing seems particularly unusual. Go ahead.
Are there other car tracks? Does it look like other cars have stopped here before? Maybe footprints?
Not that you can see, but the road is very hard-packed dirt, so you know, even your cars aren't leaving much of a track.
Okay.
As you're looking at that, you hear the sound of three engines as all three cars suddenly start up together. And you hear the drivers kind of exclaim in Spanish. And
what the hell?
Well, we will be getting on then.
And would you all make an idea roll?
Well, Mr. Fontaine, how do you feel about trying to understand everything now?
Hard success.
Hard idea is int or something?
Yes, an intelligence roll. Sorry.
I have a standard
success. 5 is 80. Yeah, hard success.
You can see the sun rising over the mountains. Just the first rays of dawn.
That seems odd, right? Here.
Look at my watch.
When you look at your watch, so you left.
Well, shouldn't it have been nighttime?
You left Chicleo at about 7 p.m., Monsieur Fontaine. You were driving for about an hour, certainly not more than an hour and a half. And you were stopped for about 10 minutes, you would guess. And your watch tells you it is just after 6 a.m.
That's not right.
It's happened again.
Do we not remember? Or we remember up to the point that the time becomes fuzzy.
You remember
everything. I guess I'm saying, yeah, okay, so.
We remember, right, we're still getting into the car. At this point in time, we are just getting into the car.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you look up and go, oh, look, pretty dawn. Wait a second, what?
That's not right.
Wait a minute. Well, something is definitely confused here.
I need to get this film developed. Perhaps there was something that I took pictures of.
Does it have like a shot counter?
It's a good question. Does the number of pictures
on a similar
match?
Yes, it does.
And I guess on a similar, I will sort of see if my cigarette pack seems emptier than I recall it being.
It does not.
Oh, well, do our watches show the same time, or do they show the old time? I guess did we ever ask that question when we had the last time shift? Because if we're moving through time, then our watches shouldn't move ahead in time.
Unless we are just losing our memories. Clearly, we arrived in Lima 3 days after we left Persia. So time passed. Somehow we got here.
More than 3 days, yes. Yes.
Same question, Jim. Does my watch show that it's
just after 6 a.m.? Same as Mr. Landau's, yes.
Okay. Or,
sorry, Mr. Fontaine.
Do I feel hungry?
Like
extra hungry?
Not really.
And do drivers seem? Does he seem shocked, bothered?
Yes. They seem very
good,
upset.
Good.
There's lots of muttering in Spanish, and you know they're all kind of crossing themselves and.
Madre de Dios.
Yeah.
But a woman, you know, kind of gets everyone. You know, let's go. Let's get going. Let's get to the plantation. Back into the cars, please.
Yes. One more thing we do not understand. There are so many. Mm-hmm.
But Novak, I see what you're getting at. Are we traveling through time? Or are we just forgetting it?
Yes, exactly. I mean,
and this one seemed like we missed time, not that we forgot it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
When we came here, it seems that we forgot our travels, not that we had anything wrong with the time.
Right. Exactly.
Section D said we had arrived 3 days prior.
Right.
So yeah, I think we can rule out traveling through time, but yeah, what's happening to our memories? Or... Is there anything between the different times? Is there anything or anybody that was around us the times where we stopped remembering?
Well, two nights ago, we just suddenly appeared at the party. So clearly, our host was not shocked. We didn't appear in the middle of...
We had been there.
Yes.
Right. No, I'm trying to figure out what the... Yeah. If there's a thing or a person causing us to lose this memory.
But I think this is different, because tonight, this morning, it's not that we don't remember, it's that time jumped. I think everyone is upset, it is not just us.
Right, so time in between didn't exist?
Well, it passed, but it did not pass. Perhaps.
Right, I mean, we were not eating or smoking or getting hungry or getting sleepy. Nothing happened.
Our watches
just jumped.
All very confusing, gentlemen.
Nothing changed except our watches changed.
Whereas the other time, things happened. We spoke to people, we traveled, we came from Persia to here, we met with, and things happened, we just don't remember them.
Right. And out here, we're in the middle of nowhere, and... The time just didn't happen.
Perhaps this is what happened to the missing expedition. They've jumped ahead in time 7 months.
Well, and there is, of course, Miss Robledo's fascinating story of the Virgin exploding 60 years ago.
Yes, which we most certainly saw yesterday. Well, what it seemed.
Yes.
I mean, but...
But it's hard to...
It's very strange, because...
Can't really... But something is strange is happening.
I don't know that there's anything we can do about it at this point. Is there any item... That's with us.
We can find some good wine, perhaps, and enjoy ourselves.
I thought you were going to suggest we could take it into the future and then sell it when it's fine vintage. But I see where your head
yes,
is.
Well, yes, I would rather enjoy it than make money from it, but yes, that is an idea as well, of course.
I don't think this changes any of your discussion, but I need to retcon one little thing. Okay. I said that you saw the light of dawn. You did not. You saw the sunset.
Oh, that totally changes what we're talking about, right?
So we may have lost 24 hours.
And it is not 6 a.m. It is just after 6 p.m.
So it's after we left. So it's after we left.
So
the next day,
can we make a luck roll to see if any of our chronographs have a calendar as well as
right.
time?
yes.
All right.
You can all make
it, Max. We got a 25% chance that
party
somebody
luck roll
in this
or all of us.
You can all make an individual luck roll. Pretty much. Presumably
yes.
You want.
Oh, all right. All right.
Oh, I rolled 100. I don't even have a watch.
Your watch is broken.
You never remember to set your watch, so it's always 3 days later anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. It's still set from the factory at 10:10, whatever.
No, I have a sundial on where the watch should be. only works during the day.
Mr. Manasa does have a calendar on his watch.
Very good. And what does it say?
It is the same day.
So we went back in time a little
backward.
Bit?
That would be the conclusion, yes.
Okay, cool.
So earlier today we jumped 60 years in the past. And right now we just jumped a couple hours.
But are we now? I am so confused.
You're not the only one.
It's many hours earlier.
We're not hungry. It's earlier, yes.
So it is now some time before we actually left. Is that what you're saying?
You said we left
we
at around 7.
Arrived, Jim?
Yeah, you left at Chicleo just after 7. Or sorry, you arrived into port at about 7. You left Chicleo probably about 7:30, and you were driving for a good hour and a half.
I think Jim did this on purpose to actually confuse us. to make us feel like our characters feel.
So we've gone back in time, and we haven't even arrived to port yet. I say we just keep going. If we could go
back to the port and take pictures of ourselves arriving. Imagine that.
Yes, but then you'd have to still get them developed, and who knows when another time jump is going to happen. So we've got to get moving.
But imagine meeting yourself, Lieutenant.
No, but that would create a time paradox.
That would be something.
But then that would influence what we're doing now, because then...
Yeah.
We can't.
How
we should stop talking
about
this
at once. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps it's better not to think about it.
It's better not to meddle. Let's just continue and not think of this for the moment.
One could drink the same wine twice.
After about another hour of driving, you arrive to a very large, ornate plantation, which you are told is Mr. Landau's plantation house. And I think that's a good place to leave it for the evening.
Nice.
Wherever it is.
whenever it is.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Brilliant.
Well, that was thoroughly confusing. Thanks, Jim.
Happy to help.
And now we will travel forward in time to next year before our next
right.
episode.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
Right. So let's see. So is that no? Yeah, that's right. It will be the second.
Yep. January 2nd.
Perfect.
Cool.
I look forward to it.
So thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Happy holidays indeed. You guys have a happy Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yep.
Yep. You guys too.
Take care, everyone.
You too. Ciao. Take care.
Later.
Bye.